Oh, yeah. You can kick things off if you want, and we'll get it going. So are you ready for part dose of number nine of the shit show?
Yes, yes, I am.
All right. Now we are gonna go ahead and get things started. We haven't done that in so long. And
we haven't done it. Oh my God. I was gonna say that's a deep cut, but yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. Oh God. Well, everyone, welcome to the Greg DeMarco hashtag with a hashtag. Is the hashtag first? The hashtag Greg DeMarco? No, it's
It's you
really.
first. It's you first, me second. Yeah.
Oh, the hashtag Miranda and Greg DeMarco, such good shit show. Number nine, POW, part two.
You literally only left out one word. That's good. You did good. The
What
super.
did I leave out? Oh, the
I'm
super.
super. Thanks for
Yes.
asking. Yes.
Asking.
What's funny is
Yes.
that's actually I haven't done it yet. I'm gonna have a lot of time this weekend. I might. That's one of the things I want to turn into a soundbite is that. That and cowboy shit are like the two top of my list of
Yes.
things I wanted to
Okay.
be a
Yes.
soundbite. But I'm super. Thanks for
Also,
asking.
you gotta take those clips of Chase Stevens' university. Would you ever do
Oh, you mean Andre
even
Chase's university?
Andre Chase? Yes, Andre Chase University.
Yes, especially the early ones. Early videos are so
The
good.
early ones were
Where
good.
it's
The early
like,
ones were
what
good.
about Steve? Fuck Steve. We don't like Steve. I don't know who was playing his student, but I have a feeling that person's going to be like the next, person they put a little bit behind. So.
Steve, yeah, Steve's gonna be big. 2020 is a big year for Steve. But yes, this is part two of the super such good shit show, POW. Episode number nine, Nueve, part two. We recorded part one, and you have probably already listened to it earlier, in which we discussed our man of the year and team of the year, myself and Greg DeMarco, who, well, he's here now. You've heard him. He's talked. It's not like, no
Sup.
surprise.
Sup.
And so, yes. So we are just continuing that annual tradition, and we will be revealing our woman of the year on part two of this show, plus interesting news article regarding Peacock that we'll get into in the second half. But Greg, new year, not new us, because we still here. We're
Die,
still the
we ain't
same.
changing. Pfft.
We ain't changing
Fuck them
for
resolutions.
no one. Yes. But me, Miranda Morales, you can find me at the hashtag Miranda on Instagram and Facebook, no Twitter. And you can find Greg at Chairshot Greg on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, as well as follow the Chairshot at Chairshot Media on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And of course, these shows, the Greg DeMarco show and the hashtag Miranda
The
show,
normal
and
shows.
all of the previous super such good shit show pals are also available as part of the Chairshot Radio Network, which you can find on thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Yes. I mean, though, it wouldn't be.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
That's what it wouldn't be. It
It
wouldn't be
wouldn't
you
be.
hosting without me doing that.
It wouldn't be a shit show without some shit actually going down.
That's true.
That is true. But yes, a way to open the new year. We'll get back to our regularly scheduled programs next week's and the weeks after. But again, it's an annual tradition to do the man, woman, and team of the year this year in a very different format. I think this is the very first time that this these awards, these discussions have happened over the course of two different podcast
Probably,
episodes.
yeah, I think so
Yes.
because
So we have
yeah.
WrestleMania'd our end of year awards.
We have WrestleMania Saturday and WrestleMania Sunday because it's not night one and night two. No. It's Saturday and Sunday because reasons.
Yes.
I bet I could tell you what the reasons are too, but it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. So we're here on of the year Sunday here tonight on the show.
Of the year Sunday. Yes. Yes. Of the year Sunday, on, this part two, but you know what? It wouldn't be a Greg DeMarco or the hashtag Miranda, or the hashtag Miranda, Greg DeMarco, super such good shit show. Pow. Part two, number nine, love potion number nine, without us talking, of course, about some independent wrestling, of course, about IZW Impact Zone Wrestling. With the new year, well, that means we are a little over what, month and a half away from Monster, the very first event of the IZW annual calendar. One of the biggest nights of the entire year, literally, as Monster, a 30-person battle royal.
Not quite 30, maybe 13.
13, yes, yes. I believe, who said, I was going to say, who did that last year when someone said 30? Adrenaline is like, yeah, oh,
that was a good friend, Tyler Cintron.
Tyler Cintron. I pulled a Tyler Cintron.
Who said he was going to enter number 13 in a 30-person match and sold it like it was a big deal. Like he had the advantage going at number 13 in a 30. And I remember he comes backstage and I'm like, you're going in last, dude. It's only 30 people. I was like, oh. Good times.
I pulled a Cintron. But anyways, a 13-person battle royal to determine the new number one contender.
If they choose. It's whatever they choose. Whatever the winner chooses, they have that opportunity. It's a match of their choosing. If it's a title match, and good reason to do that. If it's something else, then they have reason for that too. So
yes. So that will be held on Saturday, February 26th at the Scottsdale Studios in Scottsdale, Arizona. There will be a VIP event. Information will be out on that over the next few weeks.
Very soon.
So that will start at 5:30. VIP doors open at 5 and bell time will be at 5:30.
Correct.
And then the general admission doors open at 6:30 with bell time at 7. So you get two shows in one event with VIP and the main show. So, you know, really take advantage of this, you know, show. Monster truly sets the tone for the rest of the year in IZW. So much happens at Monster. So much happens after Monster. And make sure you join us and celebrate with us the first IZW show of the new year. Because, man, when Monster goes down, and we've talked about last year as well, really a lot of things happen because of the events that happen at Monster.
Absolutely. It sets the tone. It gives somebody a tremendous advantage for the year. It's you know, we've had a lot of drama in terms of leadership and commissionership and all of that, but you take the power out of their hands if you win Monster and you get whatever the hell you want. Mm-hmm. And that's you know, given some of the circumstances that are surrounding IZW right now, having the power in your hands is a pretty primo place to be. Mm-hmm. Let's just say that. Yeah.
Greg, where can our listeners find information on IZW, especially if they want to buy tickets for Monster?
I mean, buying tickets would definitely be recommended, especially, you know, from the perspective of the promoter. I would say you can follow along online at IZWAZ on all of your forms of social media. If you don't know what those are, they're Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Or you can head on over to IZWWrestling.com. And you can find a link to the box office there as well. You can also, our tickets are being sold on Eventbrite. So if you go on Eventbrite and search for IZW, that will come up. Typically, the easiest way is social media because we put the direct link right to the ticket page for that event right in there. And of course, you know, we're at the time of the cycle right now where you're starting to see wrestlers have their promo codes and lots of things that are going to be going down here in the next couple of weeks. So take full advantage of those opportunities. Get you a ticket. Come see one of our premier events. They're all premier events in IZW because we only do a handful every single year. Monster, I am excited. Can't wait. Can't wait. And it's going to be lots and lots of fun.
Yeah, Saturday, February 26th in Scottsdale, Arizona. Now, Greg, before I go to this next step, this next thing I'm going to talk about, which is really important. It's actually super important. It's actually really, really important.
Yeah.
Because it's so important, I'm going to need you to do me a favor. Help me set this up by winding it up.
It's time!
It is time for you to go to ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot to pick up your very own IZW and chair shot t-shirts. That's why it was so damn important to know. Yes, if you are not able to join us on Saturday, February 26th at Scottsdale Studios for Monster, don't fret. There is another way that you could support IZW, and that's by going to ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot to pick up your very own IZW t-shirts. Yes, there are around 6 different IZW t-shirt designs, which are all awesome, all different, and you can customize them by ordering them in different colors and styles. Yes, you know what that means. You can order it in soft style, as well as multiple shirts from the chair shot, including the Queen of Soft Style shirt, including Everybody Hates Greg, including hashtag Save Tag Team Wrestling, including Baron Corbin Sucks, including Chair Shot Corona. The beer. Chair Shot Worldwide.
I love how we've brought back the 1-9 as a phrase.
Yes.
We literally had that like a year ago. We had the discussion, more like a year and a half ago, we had the discussion of the different things that this is called. And back then it was the coronavirus. Like that was a big thing it was called. It wasn't called COVID. And then at some point COVID just took over as the name.
Yes.
And now it's Omicron or Omicron or
Omicron, Omarion.
And there's a new one apparently in France right now. I don't know. It's never end. It's never going to
Delta end. Like did not get as much.
Delta was as effective as the airline. It's just not. And it's
just not. Just not. But anyways, going back to the plug, you can go to ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot. Until January 6th, you can use the promo code New Year to get 20% off your entire order. So that means you can get your t-shirts in soft style and still save money. Yes, you can by going to ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot to get your t-shirt. Don't forget to use the promo code New Year to save 20% off of your order. And don't forget, at ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot, you can get your IZW and Chairshot t-shirt there today. So that's ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to AngryLemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
So as I talked about or helped set up on part one of the super such good shit show, PAL 9. Of
good enough. Close enough.
The world. The hashtag Miranda and Greg DeMarco super such good shit show.
Correct.
Number 9.
PAL.
PAL. Part 2. We did our annual Man of the Year and Team of the Year nominations and awards, you know, in a very interesting way. And also, I believe the first time ever, we started off with Man of the Year, which was a no contest, meaning there was only really one person that we could all agree
on. Not a wrestling style no contest.
Yeah, not wrestling style no contest. Just was, it was a winner, but no contest. And that is...
It's like imagine if Brock Lesnar in the 2020 Royal Rumble really did just eliminate all 30 people. Like that's
exactly what happened. Yes, and that was Roman Reigns, Team of the Year, which may be a surprise to some people, but one that we felt very comfortable in giving the nod to, and that was Team RK-Bro, winning team of the year. Now we have come to probably going to be one of the most contested categories of this year's awards, and that is Woman of the Year. So if this is your first time listening to this, one, go back to part one. You have to listen to it. It's all going to make sense. And typically this has been done with one Patrick O'Dowd as part of the Greg DeMarco show in many of its iterations, but he's not here, so he doesn't get to vote. But he does kind of have a vote, apparently. So I'm going to let it allow it. I will be utilizing my hashtag Miranda Rights to allow Patrick's remote vote for this. But we will just be presenting names of people that we think deserve the nod for consideration. And then we have a cordial, heated, fun discussion. Regarding why certain people will, should, may not get the final nod for Woman of the Year. So, Greg, as you've done on your show, you let me go first. But you're in my house today. Not literally, because that would be weird. But figuratively.
It would be weird because it's us. But other than that, it'd be weird.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but I'm going to let you start first. So who would you like to nominate, the first person you'd like to nominate for Woman of the Year?
I'm going to blow your mind. I'm warning you right now. Make sure you're far away from anything that could be hurt by a blown mind. Okay. There's shrapnel brain pieces all over the place. Gorgeous. And I might end the discussion right here, right now. I might.
You may. Because I feel like I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it.
You probably know. You could probably write it down or whatever, and I bet you know who I'm going to say. I am going to put the name out there who I think should be Woman of the Year, and that is none other than the virtuosa herself, Diana Perazzo.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised, but I'm not surprised.
That's it. Show's over.
Yeah, bye. Thanks, everyone. I really set that up for really no reason. No, I mean, she was definitely at the top of my list when thinking of who to nominate. I know we'll have a few other names, whether they be contenders or honorable mentions, but again, it's hard to argue. Almost similar to the Roman Reigns discussion that we had on part one, as someone who had a very strong year consistently throughout the entire year. And that was something that we struggled with when we were talking about tag team of the year, that we couldn't quite find a team that was consistent throughout the entire year. But Diana Perazzo from day one of, you know, January 1st of 2021, all the way through, had a very strong year, with one of the longest reigns, as Knockouts, Impact Knockouts champion. I believe it was like 343 days as
and that was her second one.
Champion. Yeah. Right? And that was the second reign, going through pretty much everyone on the Impact roster from, you know, working with legends like Jazz, and Mickey James, ODB, reigniting, you know, kind of feuds with Rosemary, having an unexpected but great match with Thunder Rosa, and really her ability to continue to work throughout the independent scene, winning the Reina de Reinas championship in AAA, really at one point doing the belt collector gimmick better than Kenny Omega.
The belt collector himself, yes.
And the belt collector himself. And I mean, she was, you know, number three on PWI's 150 list.
Which is garbage. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, still the fact that, I mean, it's still the highest non WWE.
Yeah. But she should have been number one when the person they had number one only like their, again, their rating period being what it is, didn't excel during the entire rating period, whereas Diana Perazzo did. But we can talk for days about what's wrong with PWI lists. It says something when someone is number three and we're like, that's too low.
Yes. So. That's very true, you know. But still, she really has have had to fight and claw her way, really, to get this level of recognition because she's not in WWE. But she defended, you know, her title I think the NWA women's event Empower. And again, really just that crossover success and working in women's wrestling in a way that has helped build it to a strong division again, outside of the WWE, you know, and even in AEW as well too, you know, I feel like as we have, as I made you talked about, the things that didn't work with the Impact AEW, you know, partnership.
Basically everything.
Everything. But one thing that AEW would have absolutely was one of the dumbest things they ever did was not really leverage the Impact roster, especially Deonna, to have, you know, more.
But she just would have lost. You think that they would have let her go? They would not have had her lose to Britt Baker? They probably would have.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, and then
Britt Baker would have lost that title to, like, I don't know, Allie. And then Allie would have gone Impact and lost it back to Deonna Purrazzo, because that's what we do.
That's what happens. Yes. But yeah, I just feel like Deonna had really the largest range of success, the most consistency. And yeah, I mean, when you think about someone who's really done it all, she is one who had so much just general success, but also growth in 2021.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't, even when we were talking, when we were, you know, supposed to do this a couple weeks ago, I just was like, man, I can't even not, you know, I can't put myself in a position to not think she should win. And it's probably because I felt as though she's been underappreciated, undervalued by the critical mass at large because of where she is. But I also think the fact that she's getting the praise she's getting, despite where she is a big part of the argument in her favor as well. And she's really coming to her own. I mean, do I think she could have accomplished all this stuff in NXT? Absolutely, I do. And I think what she's doing and the character she has could have carried over from NXT Black and Gold over to NXT 2.0 just fine. But at the same time, we're, you know, on the main roster, I think she could have been a star on the main roster as well. But that's just not, you know, in the cards for her right now. I think she could end up back there at some point, though. It wouldn't shock me at all. But where she is and what she's done is nothing short of amazing. Like, she has done exactly what you're supposed to do when you leave WWE, and that's go out there, tweak, change, reinvent whatever you need to do, and show people why the company hired you in the first place. And that's exactly what she's done. And in my opinion, she's the best women's wrestler in the world.
Yeah. Agreed. Now, for the sake of conversation, I think we're going to take a bit of a turn like we did for the Roman Reigns conversation and talk about maybe a few other contenders or other people who could hypothetically still be in that running. One of the people that comes to mind with consistency and having a great year is Raquel Gonzalez from NXT. I feel like 2020 really helped set her up for the success that we saw in 2021. The foundation was laid from the very beginning of her teaming with Dakota Kai, from that year's War Games, being the person to win to pin Io Shirai, to seeing the dissolution of that partnership between her and Dakota Kai. And then ultimately in that singles run in which she beat Io Shirai for the NXT Women's Championship. And I feel like the storytelling with her has been amazing, seeing her growth as a wrestler, as a badass, and really one of the strongest competitors really in all of NXT. Someone who has really excelled and has benefited from, you know, planting the seeds in every way of this is your next women's champion.
Yeah, I mean, it was perfectly done. She was built exactly the way she should have been built, the way you talked about, thanks to War Games, and they paid it off. And yeah, she held the championship for most of 2021. And I think a lot of people thought she was going to be gone shortly after that. She probably will be gone. She'll probably do what Rhea Ripley did and go through the Royal Rumble and join the main roster that way. And I think it's all fine and well. I don't have any problems with that if that's what they do. Because there's not a whole lot left for her to do in NXT, let's be honest. And despite the how young she is. So she has a great career ahead of her, just like Rhea Ripley and others. And I think you look at who Rhea Ripley was when she first debuted in NXT versus who she is now. I think we can kind of see some of that same transformation for Raquel Gonzalez. Basically, she's probably going to win one of these at some point. Mm-hmm. That's what I'll say. And might even be the closest argument for someone to win this besides Deonna Purrazzo, except maybe the person that I will throw on the list next. Shocker number two out of me this week, but I think it would be irresponsible of me to not throw out the name of one Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, because regardless of fandom, and again, I had this conversation with people on Twitter when they were arguing the value of CM Punk versus the value of Randy Orton. When you're doing that kind of argument and who's a better wrestler and who's more accomplished, more whatever, you have to throw your fandom out the window. And it's real hard, especially asking people to do that on Twitter. It's like a losing call. Like, why would you even make that request? But to evaluate someone for Woman of the Year, like we're doing right here, I can't let, if I'm a fan of that person, cloud that judgment. She absolutely deserves that consideration mm-hmm. for the year she's had, for the development she's shown, and everything that she's been able to do in and around AEW. So to me, I think that Britt Baker definitely belongs on the list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard. It's really undeniable. And it's one of the things that AEW, again, long term, and even though maybe you lost sight of her at a moment, or maybe she kind of got pushed into the background.
Good old AEW.
But she stayed the course and everything started to click. And some of the best things just take time for it to click. And really, I mean, one of the most memorable matches of all of AEW in 2021 was the Lights Out match between her and Thunder Rosa. And the first, and I think the best, I know they tried to replicate it this past week and, you know, with Ty Conti and Anna Jay, the Bunny,
Penelope Ford.
Penelope Ford. And it just didn't have that same magic. Didn't have the same magic at all, because you could really feel the visceral anger between these two, and very much almost like the Becky Lynch effect, in which once she bled and showed red, that was the shirt, that was the meme, that was the image that helped solidify her as a star.
Yeah, and they tried to, like you said, they tried to recreate that magic, and you just can't. They should have let something else be the calling card for the four women you just mentioned. Because it just doesn't work. You just can't build them the same way as you built Britt Baker, because it's a one shot deal. And you try to do it the same year. It just doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense. So I have two people in mind, and I kind of put them together for different reasons, but only because of the history that they made together. And that is Sasha Banks and, oh my gosh, why am I forgetting?
Bianca Belair.
Bianca Belair. Yes, the EST. Of WWE, and you know, thinking about their historic night one main event match, really was one of the highlights of women's wrestling in all of 2021. I have to put them together though, because it's almost two sides of the coin, as you said, Greg. You know, the success that Bianca had in the beginning of the year through the middle of the year, a lot of that attributed to her feud with Sasha. And I think Sasha is still very much the constant in women's wrestling. And even in a year that maybe she may not be wrestling as regular, or maybe in as many feuds, she still performs at that high caliber. And I think that they really complemented each other in the ring, but also in the feud. But I do agree, as far as, you know, we talked about PWI's 150 list and Bianca Belair topping their list. Really, she made some amazing accomplishments in that time, you know, in especially early 2021, and, you know, winning the Women's Royal Rumble. And it truly, not to say that it didn't mean anything before, but it was one of those moments where, like, this feels like this is why the Rumble exists the way that it does. Like, this is truly what it's meant to do, to elevate the next generation of talent or the next person in line. And it truly felt like the first time in a long time, the Rumble did that. You know, in other ways, it's, you know, when Becky did, or when Charlotte won, it was, you know, kind of a, or when Becky won, I want to reference more Becky. When Becky won, you know, it was more knowing it because of this larger storyline. And it did, you know, I think Becky, as you've said, you know, talk about admitting, you know, right and wrong. Did she need that win? No, she didn't need that win at that time. But it was such a pivotal
moment. It actually made it harder.
Yeah.
It made telling the story more difficult.
Yeah. And Charlotte didn't need the win, you know, but to see Bianca win, it just felt like this is what it's here for. This is what it was meant to do.
Yeah. Charlotte needed to win when Becky won. Yeah. And Shayna needed to win when Charlotte won.
Yes. Yes.
But whatever. Well, Bianca needed to win when Bianca won.
Bianca won.
They finally got it right.
They got it right.
They got the first one right with Io Shirai, with Asuka, and they got the last one right with Bianca Belair. And they'll get this one right with I don't know who. Yeah. Probably Liv Morgan. Should be Liv Morgan.
Who knows?
Or Sasha Banks. Those are my picks. Whatever. That's not what we're talking about here today.
That's another show. So
I digress. So yeah.
Yes. Any other contenders for you?
I agree with you in those two and do believe they should be on there. I don't think I can really add anybody. Like, sure, would I love to selfishly add Mandy Rose? Like, of course. But it all started at, you know, right before the advent of 2.0. Yeah. Like, it's not the longevity that you need.
Maybe 2022 conversation will be different.
It should be Shayna Baszler, but she didn't have that kind of a year. Becky Lynch returned at SummerSlam. And while, you know, big time Bex has been on top of the world since then, it doesn't make sense. Charlotte has just been plug and play throughout the year whenever they've needed her. But it's nothing that has stood out. I mean, if Charlotte won, it'd be because nobody else was there. Like it would have been like she won it by default. I mean, LOL, Charlotte wins. And while that's a thing, it doesn't need to be a thing here. There's really nobody else. Like, sure, you know, Zelina Vega won the women's, you know, the queen of the ring, the queen's crown. But and now she's tag team champion. But like half of you were like, she is a tag team champion? Like, you didn't even remember. So it's just, I don't think anybody else really jumps out at me based on the conversations and discussions that we've had. So, I would say maybe Io Shirai, but most of her success was last year. No. Yeah. It'd be silly to add anybody else. Yes.
So I think I'm going to call it. I'm going to declare our woman of the year as Deonna Purrazzo.
I believe that is the correct course of action.
So shall it be written? So shall it be done?
And the only thing for me to do is go to commercial.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore. Everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
So, Greg, there was an interesting article regarding WWE and the Peacock Network that you wanted to talk about, and I'm very interested. I kind of saw tidbits of this, but it sounds like there's been more success with WWE moving to Peacock than we originally had thought.
Yeah. So I came across this information and I really found it to be very, very interesting, because if you think back, one of the biggest criticisms of the WWE Network was that it didn't have a lot of subscribers, even though it had 1.4 million worldwide, 1.1 million domestically. A lot of people were critical of it because WWE thought it was going to be more. And you know, again, people not realizing just how much money that is. You're bringing in, you know, $12 million a month with network subscriptions and all of that. And then, of course, they signed $500 million deal for this to go over to Peacock and move everything over to Peacock. And there's been criticisms of that as well. But there was a report that was put together And basically, and I'm reading this through 411 Mania to give them credit, but it's really come through a lot. According to what they've come up with, it was initially announced with the content moving over last March to Peacock. According to this report, over 3 million subscribers of Peacock have watched WWE content regularly since everything moved over in March. Now, that's three times as many almost that were watching it, more than double, almost three times as many that were watching it when it was a WWE network. So obviously more eyeballs. And WWE has reported in their financial calls that WWE pay-per-views, which they're now suddenly calling premium events because we change everything and want to be different than everybody, and I'm actually here for it, believe it or not, has risen dramatically from when they were on WWE Network. Furthermore, due to surveys of Peacock subscribers, which I'm a Peacock subscriber and I didn't fill out the survey, so maybe this number should be higher.
I didn't get it either. Right? Rude much.
Probably in your promotions tab of your Gmail. But
I'm going to check that right now.
Hold on. Basically, of the 3 million people who have watched the WWE Network content on Peacock, 1.5 million of them responded saying that they signed up for the service because of WWE. So they're basically saying we have this because we want to watch WWE content. So Peacock can attribute whatever their numbers are. 1.5 million of those is solely because of WWE. So Peacock has benefited from this deal. And WWE now has 3 million people watching their content when they had at most 1.5 million people watching their content on the WWE network. And again, they had 1.1 million domestic subscribers when it moved over. So they still have the international folks that get the WWE network. And they retained 1 million of the 1.1 million when they made the move to Peacock. So they didn't lose jack shit like everyone thought was going to happen with the move over to Peacock. They retained over 90%, which is a hell of a retention rate when you make a move like that, because there's going to be some natural attrition. You know, everyone thought that nobody was really watching the network. They were just subscribed and then sticking around like you normally do, but yet a million of them followed them. So obviously that information isn't true. So this is one of those rare things that, despite what you might read on the Twitterverse and anywhere else, everybody won.
Yeah.
Peacock gained people. WWE gained people. Shocker, WWE made the right decision after all. And they got $500 million in the process.
Yep. And even just the little things, like you get the WWE network and additional content for a lower price than what you were getting the network for.
I pay half as much as I paid for the WWE network. And now if I really want to, I can watch every episode of The Office 14 times.
Yep.
I couldn't have done that on WWE Network.
It's smart business. And again, it goes back to WWE is an entertainment company, and they fully acknowledge it and embrace it and, you know, are leveraging these partnerships in order for more mainstream, wider attention. The fact that being a part of Peacock now allows them to have a wider fan base for more people to discover them, you know, then that matriculates, ideally, I'm sure the business model is that matriculates into having people then watch the product on TV or purchase and go to, the website and maybe purchase on www.shop.com or go to a live event or follow on social media, whatever those things may be. Just the fact that even if, you know, a handful of the million, new viewers did one of those things, that's still a win in of itself. And on top of that, you know, the company made money. Yeah. So at the end of the day, you know, when you look at things, and granted, not to say there are some features that I know are still kind of technical issues that people, you know, may not be happy with, but that seems to have subsided in comparison to all of the benefits.
Yeah. And that always happens with something like this, and definitely does. And here's the other benefit, right? Maybe the WWE Network over time could have made more money than that. But if you're WWE, you now know exactly what revenue is going to come in for 5 years off of this part of your business. You can plan, you can adjust. It's no longer volatile. There's no longer the ups and downs that you have to deal with your live event business, which is crazy right now because of the same COVID that has stricken down our good friend, Patrick O'Dowd. T's and P's go out to Patrick O'Dowd. But it's allowed them to do that. It's brought in, if 3 million people are watching pay-per-views, that's an astronomical number. That wasn't, you know, when 1 million ordered WrestleMania, that was a huge deal. 3 million people watching WWE content on Peacock, like that's even bigger. So, but again, we don't acknowledge it because that's not, you know, we're used to Dave Meltzer feeding us pay-per-view numbers, and he's only feeding us AEW pay-per-view numbers right now because WWE doesn't follow that model anymore. Mm-hmm. And he'll be like, yeah, this, you know, WrestleMania did 50,000 pay-per-view buys. Well, that's because people don't need to buy it. And the few people that are even doing it the wrong way. The numbers should be lower. People are just stupid. But that just feeds the Twitter trolls and reasons to complain and everything. But WWE, again, especially how now they're calling them premier events, not pay-per-views, they completely changed their model. But yet we as fans, and not you and I, because we're smart, but those that are out there, insist on still evaluating WWE under the old model that they themselves don't even follow anymore. And that's just silly. And you're only doing it for the sake of an argument.
Evolve or die. And that's we'll continue to see with WWE. So very interesting numbers regarding the network. And it will be interesting to see in the future. Again, maybe next time, a year or two from now, an additional survey and also additional content that may be uploaded, or, you know, if they continue this partnership or already extend this beyond the 5 years, who knows? But But, you know, we'll be talking about it here. So make sure you stay tuned. And with that, we have finished the hashtag Miranda and Greg DeMarco Super Such Good Shit Show 9, pal, part 2.
Yes.
Part 2.
Last you got it.
One.
You nailed it.
Best for last.
100%.
Save the best for last.
10 out of 10. 100 out of 100.
Yes.
You nailed it.
Make sure you follow us on social media. Me, Miranda Morales. You can find me at the hashtag Miranda, hashtag spelled out. No Twitter, because I'm the Twitterless heroine. Ring announcer to the stars, Miss Fancy Pants, the most professional podcaster, the pop punk princess, and of course, the queen of soft style here with you, as well as my friend, colleague, the unstoppable one, the kingpin of thechairshot.com, Greg DeMarco. You can find him at Chairshot Greg on social media.
All of them.
Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, well as The Chair Shot. You can find The Chair Shot on social media at Chair Shot Media. And of course, well, where is it? Thechairshot.com.
Oh, I wasn't ready for that. What? I wasn't ready. I was born ready, except for right there. Where'd it go? I really think things moved.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
All right, they didn't move.
Yes. Don't forget, if you are in the Arizona area, near Arizona, can fly into Arizona, want to drive to Arizona, IZW Impact Zone Wrestling presents Monster Saturday, February 26th at Scottsdale Studios in Scottsdale, Arizona. Greg, where can our listeners find IZW on social media?
At IZW Wrestling AZ for Arizona, at IZW Wrestling AZ.
Tickets are available for Monster. And if you want to wear something stylish to the show, maybe you can't go to the show, still want to support IZW, you can go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot to pick up your very own Chair Shot t-shirt, as well as IZW Impact Zone. Both camisas are there, and all different designs, customized colors, customized styles. And yes, you know what that means. You can order any t-shirt in soft style.
Nice and comfy.
Don't forget, you can use the promo code New Year until January 6th in order to get 20% off your entire order and start the new year right with a stylish t-shirt supporting IZW and The Chair Shot. And with that, We done. But, you know, we do something special for the hashtag Miranda Greg DeMarco Super Such Good Shit Show, number 9, pal, part 2. We sign off in a very special way because you get double the hosts, so you get double the sign-offs. So with that, Greg, why don't you give your sign off?
Yeah, I do believe everybody out there should go on out and always use your head.
And don't you forget to always keep it soft style.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane! Everybody strap in! I'm about to open the fucking windows.